Shalom Aleichem, Abiyah 15613. We welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun, Avodah Zarah 58, pagination is 99. We'll start on the facing page at the bottom with an observation regarding the Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel says, Shalosh Avonim Zu Betzad Zu, Betzad Markulis Asuros. If you have three stones which are positioned in a certain way next to Markulis, which is a certain type of Avodah Zarah, they would be forbidden. Now, the topic of Markulis is well known, that it was served by throwing stones at it. And I think that many people think of Markulis, throwing stones at it, which is an unusual type of service. It's not the regular slaughtering or libations or bowing. It's throwing stones at it. They think of it in the same context as Baal Pa'ar, which was served by going to the bathroom on it. And both of them are unusual methods of service, and they think of the two in the same context and consider the throwing the stone at Markulis as an act of disrespect. That's my impression. That's the way I've heard it presented by different people. And the reality upon research seems to be quite different. Indeed, these two Avodah Zarahs have a commonality in that there's an unusual mode of service. In the case of Baal Pa'ar, this defecation, which is assumed to be an act of similar to atheism. You take something, make it a god, and then disrespect it. But in the case of Markulis, that's not what's going on. The word Markulis is commonly understood to be referring to the idol Mercury, which was the god of travel. In the words of the Teferis Yisrael in his commentary to the Mishnah, L'socharim v'ovrei derachim, to merchants and to travelers, that he was the Mora Derech. They believed that he would get them safe passage, or he would guide them in their way, or something like that. And this was the idol worship. And the method of idol worship that was done was that there was this god that was there, this statue, and they would toss stones. The word toss is a much better word for understanding rather than throwing stones, which sounds like a disrespect. They would toss stones, and it's not a conventional method of worship that we would know in any other context, and in fact, it might be considered an act of disrespect in other areas, but it was not intended as such by Markulis. It was intended as a tribute of sorts, where they would toss a stone in the direction of the idol, and that was their act of tribute, which was considered idol worship. The word toss is the way Art School presents it in their footnote. Let's move on to a story on today's daf. I'm on daf Nunamad Aleph, counting up from the wide lines, about 12 lines. The first word on the line is Markulis, and then we begin. Beyanai Malka, the house of Yanai the king, meaning his palace, Charuv, was destroyed, fell into disuse. Also of the Kochavim, the idol worshippers came, Ukimu be Markulis, they made a Markulis over there. Also of the Kochavim Acharini, a different group of idol worshippers came, Delopachli le Markulis, who didn't pay tribute to Markulis. Shakulinhu, they took it away, Vechifu bohem derachim visat ritaos, and they used it to pave the thoroughfares. And the word satrataos would seem to sound very much like our word street. They used it as paving stones. So the question is, are you allowed to benefit from these rocks that were tossed in tribute to an idol? Iker Rabbanan de Parshi, v'Iker Rabbanan de Lo Parshi. There were rabbis who separated from that thoroughfare. They would not use it. They didn't want to benefit from these rocks that were tossed in tribute to Marculus. And there were rabbis who did not have a problem with it. They didn't separate themselves, and they were willing to use that byway. Omer Rabbi Yechanan commented, "B'non shel kedoshim mahalech aleihem, the Holy One walks upon them. He doesn't have a problem with it. V'anan nifrosh mehen, and we're going to separate. We're going to be more observant than the Holy One." Man Nihu, who was he referring to? Benon Shel Kedoshim, Rabbi Menachem b'Rabbi Simoi, this particular rabbi. V'amai karu le Benon Shel Kedoshim, and why did they call him the son of holiness? Da'afilu b'tzurasa de'zuza lo mistakel, because he would not look at the image on a coin. Apparently the coins were minted with these idol gods, image, whatever that was, and he would not look at it. And if you have a person who's so observant in the topic of Avodah Zorah, and he wouldn't even look at that, and over here, when there's a different question of Avodah Zorah, he's willing to walk on it, so probably his reasoning is sound, and you don't have to worry about it. We still have to understand the reasoning of the two viewpoints, but that was the comment. If he's not worried, I don't have to be worried. Tosfos wonders, my chassidus, what exactly was the saintliness of not looking at the coin? So he wonders that it says, al tifnu el hu'elilim, not to look, not to be drawn towards the gods. Maybe everyone shouldn't be looking at these coins. I guess you just feel it and glance at it enough that you know which coin it is, but you don't look at it. Some limitation. So Tosfos says, perhaps, Zuza sherogil liros batadir lo shaycha behafna'a. A coin that everybody is frequent to look at it, it's not behafna'a, it's not considered something that's going to draw you in any direction. It becomes more of an icon, more of just a figure, but not anything of tangible impact. Tosfos in Shabbos comments that there's a distinction we need to be aware of something that's shavya la'avodah zarah, that's considered an avodah zarah, and something else that's considered noy, it's just ornamental. So these coins are ornamental. They're not, no one's worshipping the coin because it's got the icon of their god. And therefore, what he did was considered saintly, and Rabbi Yechanan is only commenting that if he's not worried, then I don't have to be worried. Okay, but what was the explanation of the two viewpoints? My time of demand de parish, what's the reasoning for the ones who separated themselves from this pathway paved by the stones thrown to the Marculus when it was in action, when it was being used as a god? Savalok Yehoda Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav Chiya Bar Yosef Amar Rav Minayin L'takruvas Avodas Kochavim She'en La B'Teila Olamis. How do you know that takruvas, things that were brought to an Avodah Zarah, are never nullified? We have a rule that if a non-Jew has an idol and he eventually decides to negate the idol, that idol could actually become permitted in benefit because it's nullified. When it comes to tekruvus, however, something that was brought to the idol, it's never going to be nullified, even if the idol to which it was brought falls into disuse and is nullified, which is the story over here, that the second group of idol worshippers didn't believe in Marculus. But the tekruvus, according to this approach, is still going to be prohibited. We can suggest a reasoning, perhaps, that an idol is forbidden because it's an idol. And if you nullify it, it's no longer an idol. Takruvis, something that was brought to the idol, is not forbidden because it's actively anything. It's forbidden because it was once brought to the idol. And that, quite logically, is something that's going to remain regardless of what later happens to the idol or to the takruvis. If the priests decide, okay, the observance was done and now we want to sell it. This was the discussion by the Indian here, Shetals. The observance is done and now we're done with it. We're willing to unload it on the open market. Such a concept might very well not change the status of the item because its prohibition is that it once was brought to the idol. And that's true. That didn't change. It was once brought. Okay, so that's one viewpoint. On the fourth line of the wides, Uman de lo parish, and the opinion who did not separate from these stones that paved the thoroughfare, Omar, they say, Bo'ina ke'en panim veleka. It has to be that the takruvus was used in an observance that's similar to what happened, bilti la'Hashem levado, similar to the way it's done for Hashem. And this has no comparison. There's no parallel. In the words of Rashi at the end of the commentary on this page, va'avonim ein ovdim lohem befonim. We don't have a service of stones in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they held that it's simply not called takruvis, and therefore all of this discussion and ramification is not relevant. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.